Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast. So, we are back. I feel like it's been a very, very long time since the last time the both of us recorded. I don't even know. It's probably been like 2 weeks or something like that. But, obviously, the elephant in the room, Kobe Bryant passed away this past Sunday, along with his daughter, Gigi, and seven other people in a tragic helicopter crash, which is still crazy to say. And so, like, I've been out of commission for, like, the past 3 days. Still doesn't really feel right to talk. Like, that's why I wrote an article, because it didn't feel right to talk about on a podcast. Like, I couldn't put my words into words. So, that's another reason why we didn't record for a little while. But here we are. We're back. We're going to talk about the Nets. We're going to talk about the All-Star game. But before we get into all that, we just want to, like, give some sort of tribute to Kobe in some sort of way. So I still am, obviously. If you don't know, I'm a Lakers fan. I still love the Nets. Still love to talk about the Nets. I live in New York, so the Nets are my favorite New York team. But I'm a Lakers fan through and through. And so, obviously, the death of Kobe impacted me more than the average, I don't even want to say the average person, because it impacted a lot of people in a lot of different ways, but it definitely hurt me. I didn't start, so I wrote an article for Hoop Ball entitled Thank You Kobe. I talked about a lot of this in that, but if you didn't read it, then I'm basically just going to talk about it here. My parents didn't watch basketball, so I didn't watch sports until like 2008. And the only reason that I started watching them was my friend, Jalal. Shout out, Jalal. He encouraged me to get NBA 2K9 for my Xbox 360 and had KG on the cover. And he knew all the players, but I didn't. He's a Heat fan. So I asked him what player I should be. I asked him what team I should be. He said the Lakers, because they were the nicest team. And then I picked the Lakers. He let me win. And yeah, it was history from there. And so I've been a Lakers fan ever since. I've been beating Jalal in 2K ever since. And my experience with Kobe wasn't as long as maybe like the average Laker fan, I guess you would say. Because like, I didn't get to see him drop 81. I didn't really see his 2008 Olympics. I didn't see like him banging on Yao Ming. I didn't see him throw the lob to Shaq in the finals. Like, there's a lot of things that I missed. And that's something that I regret. But, like, through and through, it was my favorite Kobe memory was his 60-point game. I was in high school. I think it was our senior year. I don't remember. It was either our senior year or our junior year. Or maybe it was our sophomore year. I don't know. 2016. We were the class of 2016, so it was our senior year. And so it was our senior year, and I remember recording. I still have the videos to this day of me just going crazy recording my TV on Snapchat. And my old phone deleted all of my photos, all of my videos, but it kept the Kobe videos for some reason, and I still have them on my phone to this day. And like, it was just, that was one of the most, that's by far, we talked about our, like a couple days ago, or like a couple weeks ago, when me and Hunter and all of our friends were on PlayStation, we talked about like, what were your best sports memories of like the decade? And that was my number one through and through. Like, seeing my favorite player go out dropping 60. I don't care if it was on 50 shots. I don't care if it was on 100 shots. He dropped 60, won our 17th game that season. And, like, let us, like, I got to see the Kobe that I didn't see for since 1996 to 2008. So that was my favorite Kobe memory. And obviously there's more, but I could spend the whole podcast talking about it. And the man was just an extremely, extremely big role model of mine, an idol, a superhero. Outside of my dad, probably the most like influential male figure in my life, and I never met him. I've never been to LA, like, and so I'm going mid-February for Valentine's Day, and it's going to mean so much more to me now because I obviously have to visit Staples. I want to visit LA Live. I just want to see everything that has to do with Kobe, and yeah, like, I don't want to keep just rambling, but he meant a lot to me, and even though Hunter's a Celtics fan, I know that you respected my man as well.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. I wanted to let you get everything out. So, obviously, while Kobe was playing, it's like one of those things where I always said, like, oh, I hate him. But it's never a true hate. It's more you hate when your team has to play him. Unlike Najee, I watched basketball forever. It's the first sport I got into. I played from a young age. I always watched. I was a Celtics fan since 2003 when I was 4 years old. And I was there to see the Celtics and Lakers face off in multiple finals. We wound up winning the first matchup before Kobe eventually beat us. And it's like Tom Brady or Derek Jeter. There's always that one in every sport where they play their whole career with their team. They dominate, and no matter how much you want to say you hate them, there's no one that can really hate them. And especially after he just passed, like, you begin to realize all of the things that he's done, the amount of positive impact that he's had on people through his other works, his Oscar, his coaching with his daughter's team, his advice and challenges for other NBA players. Those players looked up to him, and whenever he gave them a challenge, they made it their mission to complete whatever he said. His words were so powerful, and this is probably the most influential death of my entire life. I'm about to turn 21. I would say his death is probably the most influential out of anybody since I've been alive. And when it happened, I was in IHOP, and I was just sitting there like there's nothing to say. Like, I didn't cry because there's, like, no reaction. Like, it should not have happened. It shouldn't be real. And then just watching all the different news sources flowing in, a lot of misinformation that started to get cleared up. And the thing that I said the second it happened is I said, Gigi will be the one to carry his legacy. So watch her be the first woman in the NBA. And then ABC said all four of his daughters were on it. And I said, I doubt that's true because I heard it was five people. But then as they dug up more information, it turned out Gigi was the one daughter that was with him. And she was the one. I've watched so many Ball is Life videos when I'm going to sleep on just her playing basketball and how it compared to Kobe and how good she was. she had standing offers from universities. She was going to be great. And it's like, it's unfortunate that he's not going to be there for the two younger daughters that won't have his training and his advice on life. And like, his oldest daughter has been there for enough to know who he was and what he would have said in certain situations, but his two younger daughters will never know, like, the man that he is. So there's not much more to say. It should not have happened.
It's just like, it doesn't feel real. Like,
it's one of those things that shakes the world, and it makes everyone just appreciate things a little more.
Like, I still think, like, out of nowhere, Kobe's gonna tweet like I'm fine, but like he won't. And that's why it's crazy to talk about him in the past tense. Because you look at him like someone that shit like is not supposed to die. Like, who knew Kobe? Like, who knew Kobe could die? Like, obviously, you know he's human, but like, he didn't feel human. And it's like, I watch highlights and I'm like, damn, like, this man is no longer with us. Like, that is insane. And like, to see the impact that he's left on so many athletes that you didn't even know. Like, people coming on Twitter talking about their Kobe stories. Like, everybody has a Kobe story about how he just met them one time, like, left them a note, like, did all of this crazy stuff, like, that you didn't even know. And I just feel like this will be, like, people will remember this for the rest of, I know I will remember this for the rest of my life. Like, Kobe Bryant is dead. Like, it does not feel right to say. But we're gonna go to break real quick, and when we get back, we'll get to all the nitty-gritty net stuff and come back on a lighter note.
What's up, Nets fans? It's your boy Najee, and I'm here to talk to you about a new promotion that we've got going on, a new partnership that we're very excited about with MyBookie. Christmas has come and gone, but the Super Bowl is quickly approaching. We've seen just what our teams are capable of this season, and now it's time to get your last bets in before the bowl. 49ers versus Chiefs. Who are you rocking with? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, and Tyreek Hill? Or Richard Sherman, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tevin Coleman, and Emmanuel Sanders? Whoever it is, I bet you have a feeling. Head over to mybookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book to make some bets for the bowl games, MyBookie is where you want to go. Football not your thing? No worries, MyBookie's got it all, from the NBA to the Premier League. They've got the fastest payouts, the best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. What else could you ask for? You can even pool your bets together for a bigger payout. Let's say you got a couple of big favorites this week. Parlay wagers lets you bet multiple games together, and if they all come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around. And if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Who doesn't love free money? All you have to do is use our promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code TODAY, TODAY, to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
So we're back. We're back to talk about the Nets. Back to talk about the All-Star festivities that shall be happening Valentine's Day weekend while I'll be in LA. And we're going to go over the Nets' last three games because I feel like those are the most important. Hunter, do you want to answer the question first about the big man?
Oh, yes. So after my solo episode, I received a question on Twitter regarding my thoughts on Nicholas Claxton and how well he had played while DeAndre Jordan was down, because I was discussing the terrible on-off-court numbers of DeAndre Jordan. Claxton also has horrible on-off-court numbers, but his is on a much smaller sample size, so it's really not fair to even use that number. But, well, I will say he took the, he made the most of his minutes, and I think he does have a bright future with the Nets, but it's not now. I mean, actually, it's hard to say whether he has a bright future with the Nets because DeAndre Jordan signed for 4 years.
I mean, I think that
Kyrie and KD.
I think that they'll phase him out of, like, in like year three. I don't think he's going
to
be.
If they do decide to do that and Claxton develops, I do think he will be a solid role player. I don't think he'll ever be a player that falls out of the league.
We think you still got Jared Allen.
Well, yeah, he's not going to start. That's why I said role player.
That's tough. I still don't know what Jared Allen is. Like, I don't know what his ceiling is.
I had told you last year that I believed it would be tough for him to get much better than he was. And so far this year, he's 0.5 points, 1.4 rebounds better, 0.2 assists worse, and 0.1 block worse per game. But he's shooting about 6% better from the field. And in one more minute per game, his max is a base double-double about. To me, his max is like a 15 and 11.
I think his max, like, we're talking prime Jared Allen here. I think he could be like a 18 and 12 with two blocks type of guy.
I give him like 15 and 12 maybe with two blocks. Don't see the scoring being that high.
If he can develop his perimeter game, like if he can, he'll never be a ball handling type, or he'll also never be a post threat type of center, like someone that's gonna back you down and just, you know, like destroy you on the post. He's more of like a lob threat, get it and dunk it, quick dunks type of person.
Yeah, but like even his analytical stats are good. Like his win shares are good. His box plus minus for defense is good, and his offensive game has improved. It's gotten better each year, so. He's making a positive impact for sure. And I think he's going to wind up starting for as long as he's on the Nets.
I agree, because I think the Nets invested a lot into him and they can't give up on him, especially since he has the backing of so many fans. Like, I support Jared Allen, I do. I think that he can be good. I don't think he'll ever be amazing. I don't think he'll ever be great. But I think he can be a solid, good NBA player. I just think that the Nets might have invested a little too much, a little too soon. But I don't want to turn this into the Jared Allen crapping on convention. So we'll get to the games. So they played the Pistons, the Knicks, and the Pistons. Just maybe 2 hours ago, they finished playing the Pistons. Their first game was on Saturday. The Nets managed to win 121 to 111, making them, well, total right now, what are they, 20 and 25?
20 and 26.
20 and 26. And so, in this game versus the Pistons, the first matchup versus the Pistons, Kyrie dropped 45. He basically destroyed the Pistons all on his own. It was a pretty dominant showing from Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew.
Yeah, that's one of those games where Kyrie takes over. No one else has more than 15. Well, Joe Harris had 16, but that's one of the games where it's Kyrie's game. He takes 30 shots. No one else takes more than 13.
He took 30 shots and knocked down exactly 15 of them. He was 5 for... it was a pretty good game. Like,
It was a 50-40-90 game.
I was just about to say that.
Five of 12 from three.
The Nets as a team, They lost the turnover battle. They won the rebound battle by three.
Well, the turnovers, it's just that they couldn't force turnovers. They only had 10.
Yeah, but their opponent only had 8, so there's that. They did shoot better from the field. They shot 44.7%. Yeah, they shot really good from the free throw line, which is good for the Nets. It's new for the Nets. We need that from the Nets. They shot 22 of 25 from the free throw line, 88%. Do you really hold an opponent to shooting bad from the free throw line? The Pistons went 12 of 18. So they took 18 free throws, the Nets took 25. The Pistons did shoot better from the three-point line, but not by much. They shot 37.1% while the Nets shot 35.7%. When we look at the Pistons box score, Derrick Rose, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Derrick Rose dropped
20. He's having a great season.
He's a monster. Even tonight against them, he was killing. He had 27, 4, and 6 on 10 of 22 shooting. He knocked down 2 threes, knocked down all 5 of his free throws. This is probably Derrick Rose's best season since his MVP year.
Andre Drummond had 20 points on 20 shots with 21 rebounds.
Yeah, he had a 2020 game in 40 minutes. Sekou Doumbouya, he had approximately 0 points. Yeah, he was 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, didn't attempt a free throw. He had more turnovers than he had points. And then Svi Mykhailiuk, former Laker, 37 minutes, 19 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. Bruce Brown, 17 points. The Pistons have a whole bunch of guys that nobody, a casual NBA fan, would not know. That's just over here averaging 15. Like, just because they have so much, like, opportunity to shoot the ball because the Pistons are very bad. And then outside of that, the only player on their bench that scored in the double digits was Christian Wood. Played 21 minutes, 10 points, or 4 of 9 shooting with 4 rebounds.
Yeah. As soon as Blake Griffin was down, you kind of knew their season was over. So
I don't think their season was going.
Let Derrick Rose get the keys.
Their season wasn't going nowhere when Blake was healthy.
I mean, yeah, but they could have fought for an 8th seed. Now they're fighting for nothing.
You're not wrong. Definitely not wrong. And so then they took on the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers, on Sunday, January 26th, which was the tragic day that my idol and the world's idol, Kobe Bryant.
And honestly, I don't even want to say much about this game because
you the can't games really, on this
day do not count to
exactly,
me.
Like you can't put too much stock into it. Kyrie,
the Celtics lost to the Pelicans on a day they would not normally lose. A lot of teams just played awful on this day, and then there's other players who played amazing on this day. So
Kyrie didn't play because of personal reasons. He was at the gym, like, ready to play, going to suit up, going to play the Knicks, got the news, and was like, yeah, nah, I'm not doing it. A lot of people thought they were going to cancel the games, but the NBA ended up not doing so. And Kyrie was like, yeah, I refuse. I refuse to play tonight. So the Knicks beat the Nets. I personally, like Hunter said, don't put too much stock into this one.
Like, we'll just do a quick Mitchell Robinson, 12 on 6 of 6 shooting with 5 boards. Alfred Payton, 9 points, 9 assists. Julius Randle, 22 points, 15 rebounds, 6 turnovers. And Marcus Morris, trade candidate, 21 points, 9 of 18 shooting. Everyone else on the Knicks was bad. Frank Ntilikina had 11.
There wasn't a single Knicks play. There wasn't a single player in the NBA that could focus on basketball on this day.
The only person I believe focused on basketball was Trae Young because he was able to perfectly nail every statistic having to do with Kobe.
That
Bryant.
Was a monster game. That was like, I don't even want to know. That's not even coincidence, bro.
He had to know exactly what his stats were and nail all of it.
That is not coincidence. That is pure, like, that is some next level.
81% from the line, took 24 shots from the field. First player with a 45-point double-double.
Since Kobe.
Kobe.
Like,
How? And then him and Booker combined for 81.
On 24 shots each. Like, come on. Come on. It's crazy. Kobe has such a big impact on the league. And so after the Knicks mollywopped the Nets, they played the Pistons tonight on the night that we're recording, which is Wednesday.
They played the Pistons. And they got a win on a great performance from Spencer Dinwiddie.
And his new number.
Who took over late in the game.
His new number. Number, what is it, 28?
26.
26. I was so close. 26. He had 28 points. So there we go. His first game was the new number.
Just 13 shots, too.
Yeah, no, he went off. He absolutely went off. 8 of 13
yeah,
from the field.
He was literally dominating the game at the end.
8 of 11 from the free throw line. 6 assists, 3 rebounds. Man was a monster. Played 29 minutes. Kyrie, 32 minutes, 20 points, 7 of 16 from the field, 5 assists, 5 rebounds.
Amazing game from Taurean Prince. And he had 22 points, 9 of 16 shooting, 4 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 4 steals. Great game.
Yeah, no. It was a great overall team effort from
Joe Mets. Harris needs to get his head in the game.
Yeah, 1 from 6 from the three-point line can't happen for your best shooter.
Can't Do happen. Me a favor and pull up his percentages, please.
On the season?
Yes.
All right, let's see what my boy Joey Buckets. Let me see what Overliable. I haven't called him that in a while because he hasn't deserved it. Overliable is averaging on this season. He's shooting 40.4% from the three-point line, which is better than average.
Yes, it's still solid, but his overall percentage from the field is down, and from free throw line, and from three. He's having a slightly worse season than he did last year.
And so, I don't know what's to blame. Maybe last year was just an amazing, amazing year. I think he's capable of shooting at least 43% from the three-point line.
Yeah, I've just seen too many games where he's like 1 of 6, 2 of 7, 3 of 10. Like, it's just... He needs to step it up.
And so, upcoming for the Nets, they play the Bulls on Friday, which they should win. The Wizards. So, we've gotten past the gauntlet. Like, we got out of the gauntlet. We played the Raptors. The Nets, out of this death row lineup that the Nets played, they won games that they should have won. Like, they won the games that they needed to win. They beat the Heat, which was a big, big, big one. They beat the Hawks. They lost to the Sixers both times. And then they beat the Pistons both times. So it's like they lost the games that they thought they were going to lose outside of the Heat, and they won the games that they should have won. So overall, I said this was a pretty good little death row trip for the Nets. And our schedule gets a lot easier. The Bulls, the Wizards, and the Suns.
And the Warriors.
Four non-playoff teams. Four of what would be considered the worst teams in the league outside of the Suns. The Suns are like mid-tier bad. Like, they're not garbage, but they're not good. So they're like mid-tier garbage. And so the Warriors, bottom of the barrel. Wizards, absolute trash. Bulls, absolute trash times two. So they could very well go on a nice little, what, 3-4 game streak here before they see the Raptors. I think that they will. I think that they definitely could. I think Kyrie is going to be big, very motivated.
The goal is ultimately for them to not finish eighth.
Yeah.
Because if they're the eighth seed, it's basically writing off their season in four games.
Yeah, they're not beating the Bucks.
If they're seven, any of the Celtics, Raptors, Heat, Sixers or Pacers can maybe be pushed to six or seven.
Yeah. Also, I remember we were speculating about KD coming back. Maybe I don't think he comes back. I think that this season, I don't think that KD comes back this year. I think it's a wrap. I think it's a wash. I think he's coming. I know I've changed my opinion on this so many times, but I think he comes back next year fresh and healthy. I don't think he makes it back this year. Has your opinion changed on KD at all since the last time you said that you thought he was going to come back too? If he could.
I mean, they're probably going to tell him not to come back even if he can, so.
If the Nets are the 8th seed, I don't think he comes back. I don't think he comes back to try and play the Bucks. Like, there's no way. And we were talking about Kobe in the beginning, so we didn't get to really get to our intro. So let me give a big shout-out to Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other HoopBall podcast. You can go check them out at Hi Kona Coffee. That's Kona with a K on Twitter. Or look up their products on Amazon. They're amazing. Hunter and I have tried them. Best coffee around. And so let's get into the All-Stars. So the All-Star starters for both conferences were announced last week. For the East, we have Giannis, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. And for the West, we have LeBron and Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, James Harden, and rounding it out, we got Kawhi Leonard.
Before we get into our reserves prediction, did you see today how Elfrid Payton shoved Jay Crowder, right?
I did indeed see.
Well, Marcus Morris in the post-game press conference said on Jay Crowder, he's soft, very woman-like.
Marcus Morris plays nothing but games. He plays nothing but mind games with players. To get them that's to be upset. I think
they'll actually, if the Clippers actually go and get him, that's the smartest thing they can do.
I mean, if the Clippers have Patrick Beverley, Marcus Morris, Lou Will, Montrezl Harrell, they already are the most annoying team in the league. They're going to go tenfold when it comes to annoyance.
All you need is Draymond Green and the search.
Exactly. Sun. Really, though. All you need is Draymond. And they would be insanely annoying to play. But when we... do you want to do reserve? Do you want to do your reserves first? It's not that different.
Essentially the same reserves. We have one different player in each conference.
All right, so you might as well do a tandem. For the West, we'll start with the West because the West is good.
We both have the same starting guards. I mean, the same two reserve guards. Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know how you can't give it to Dame. He's a lock.
Okay, yeah, Dame lock. Mitchell, they're the third seed. Conley hasn't played. Although Bogdanovich has been carrying a lot of the scoring, Mitchell's their best player at all times.
And so Donovan Mitchell deserves his first All-Star berth because the Jazz are the three seed. I'll say best
offensive player.
When we get to forwards...
Because their best defensive player is Rudy Gobert.
Exactly. We got Rudy Gobert. We got Nikola Jokic. Hunter had to talk me into Jokic because I wasn't really buying into it. But there really wasn't any other forward that was better than him. And the Nuggets are what? The two? They're like the four seed, I think?
They are at the very top of their...
Yeah, they're the four seed.
Yeah. There's a game that separates the Clippers, Jazz, and Nuggets. They could finish anywhere from 2 to 4.
And so, there you go. He definitely deserves to be in the All-Star game because, like, no one else really warrants it. Jamal Murray doesn't. So, we got to have some Nugget in the All-Star game and deserves to be Jokic. And then, finally, rounding out the forwards, I got my man, Brandon Ingram, because he...
I also have Brandon Ingram.
...downright deserves to be in the All-Star game this year. The man is averaging 25. He was carrying the Pelicans before Zion came back.
He's had a great year, but had Zion played the entire season... There's no shot he'd be in the All-Star game right now.
Hey, man, he did. That's all I got to say.
Based on what I've seen so far, they have a much more balanced attack when Zion's playing.
Hey, if the Warriors never traded Montella, Steph Curry wouldn't be Steph Curry now, would he?
Oh, these games.
Hey, that's the same thing, though. Like, hey, happens. When we get to the wild card, we have different here, right?
We have one of the same.
We both have Westbrook.
Yes, I believe you cannot hold out Westbrook. There's many people who want to hold him out. But in reality, he's still averaging like 26, 7, and 7.
Plus the Rockets in the 3 seed, they deserve 2 players. And then
no, the Rockets are the 5 seed.
They're the 5 seed? Wait, who's the 3 seed? The Jazz. Oh, wow. Whoa, definitely going to leak that.
29-17 at the 5 seed.
I still think Westbrook deserves to make it, though.
Me too. Because him and Harden are everything, so. And then you give your last spot, and I'll give mine.
Okay. So my last spot goes to Christopher Paul. Yeah, I don't know how you can leave him off of it. I don't think anyone expected the Thunder to be any sort of good. I think that they expect them to be average. And they're the 7 seed. They're only a couple games back of the 6 seed. What, they're a game and a half back of the 6 seed Mavericks, and the Mavericks aren't the most reliable team, so they very well could sneak up into like 6-5 maybe. Chris Paul's having a good season. He's like, they're playing well. Shai's playing really well.
Okay, so I'll tell you you're wrong. And I'll tell you you're wrong because if you're putting anyone from the Thunder, I don't, personally. But if you're putting someone from the Thunder, I would put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You're telling me Christopher Emmanuel Paul doesn't deserve to make the All-Star game, averaging 17.2 points, 6.4 assists, 5 rebounds on 48% shooting?
Shai Gilgeous is averaging 19.6 points, 6.1 rebounds, 3.1 assists on 46.2% shooting.
But who's mentoring Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Who's allowing him to do this?
Who's playing better?
Would they be here without... Would Shai Gilgeous-Alexander be having as good a season if Chris Paul wasn't on his team? No.
Possibly, yes.
Nope. But would Chris Paul be having the same season if Shai Gilgeous wasn't on his team? He'd probably be having a better season. So I'm going to go ahead and put Chris Paul right into the All-Star game.
Well, both of them are bullarchy. Because... First of all, I'd put Ja Morant over both of them, but that's not who I have either. It was very hard for me to hold Ja Morant out of the All-Star game, by the way. I love Ja Morant.
It was hard for me to hold D'Angelo Russell out of the game, but he hasn't played enough games.
That's absurd.
Shut your mouth. Because
that's nonsense.
He hasn't played enough games.
Stop speaking.
He's averaging 24, 6, and 4. He's averaging 24, 6, and 4.
You might as well put Towns in the game too, right?
Hey, he deserves it if he played more games.
Yeah, I would obviously like to put Cat, but he only played 30 games. They're not going to put him in probably. This man, Ja Morant, is almost 50-40-90 as a rookie. Well, right, he's almost 50-40-80. But... you can't give it to him yet. You have to give it to Devin Booker. It's hard to hold someone. Devin Booker is averaging 27-4-6 on 51% shooting. If you didn't know.
And somehow the Suns are, let me break it to you, 20-27.
If you didn't notice, he's risen his efficiency. Stop taking as many three-pointers and just improved his game so much overall. He's shooting 51% because he's fine-tuned some of the elements of his game that he was lacking in the earlier seasons. I think he's finally ready to see the All-Star game. After seasons of averaging 26.6 and 25 before this one, he's finally going to get in the game.
I would honestly think that the coaches would put in Chris Paul out of pure respect. And so...
No. Next.
When Devin Booker doesn't make it, you can sit there with a foolish grin on your face and see Chris Paul.
Watch Damian Lillard get snubbed.
There's no shot. Imagine. That man just dropped 61. He's not getting snubbed.
Imagine.
He's not getting stubbed. And we go on to the East. The East, I'm sorry to break it to you, it is so much worse than the West. Like, it is crazy how much worse they are when you really get to the meat and potatoes. And so, in the East reserves, the two guards we have, Bradley Beal, no-brainer. Ben Simmons, Hunter tried to tell me that it's just some sort of debate, but Ben Simmons is a no-brainer.
I have Ben Simmons. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is pre-podcast, pre-pressing record.
I have Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh, yeah, now you do.
If this was an argument, I wouldn't have Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he's trying to play it off, everyone.
I had to fight myself to put him on it, but I still did.
And then for forwards, we have Jimmy Butler. He's a lock. Chris Middleton, which
unfortunate lock.
I never believe that he's that nice. I never do.
Until I look at the stats.
Until I look at the stats, he just dropped 51. Like, okay, he's gonna make it. And then our last forward is a toss-up between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but we both selected Jason Tatum.
Look, a lot of people are saying Jaylen Brown, and I love Jaylen Brown, but Jason Tatum is the second best player on our team. It has to be him.
Yeah, I would go Jason Tatum, obviously. The Celtics deserve two wins. If we have to put two wins, it's going to be Kemba and Jason. And then for wild card, it's just like, I don't...
Well, we have one of the same, and since the East needs a center, I'm saying Bam Adebayo. The Heat deserve two, and Adebayo has been great for them this season.
I also say Adebayo. And then who's your other?
So, you have Domantas Sabonis, correct?
Yes, begrudgingly. I can't think of anyone else.
Look, Domantas Sabonis is very good, but I am tired of this man not being an all-star.
Who?
And look, until this year, he never really deserved it. And because I want to see him in the dunk contest.
Zach LaVine?
Zach LaVine is my...
Zach LaVine.
25-5-4 with 1.4 steals on 44% shooting, 39 from three. 83 from the line.
All of those numbers.
To see back in the dunk
contest. All of those numbers you just said, and the Bulls are 19-31.
What can he do about that? What can Trey do about that? Honestly, like,
I don't know, man.
Look. It's not about them. It's about the supporting cast. If you wanna call anyone out, let's take a look at Mr. Markkanen. Okay.
Oh no, he's not good.
46 games, he's averaging 15-6 on 42% shooting.
He was really good his rookie year. And then
and last year.
Injuries really.
Yeah.
Injuries really messed him up.
And then Mr. Wendell, 12-10.
I wouldn't be mad at Zach LaVine, though. Like, if it was Zach LaVine over, like, I'm not sold on Sabonis. It's not like I'm going to die on the hill for Sabonis. If he doesn't
Chris
get picked, oh well.
A whopping 7 points.
I mean, Chris Dunn is bad.
He's in their starting lineup.
I remember he was coming out of, what, Providence? And everyone's like, Chris Dunn is so good. Chris Dunn is such – he's such a good point guard. He is bad.
Well, do you want to hear something about that?
Yeah, tell me.
So, I was a big Chris Dunn fan. And I felt as though a point guard would have been a necessary pick for us at the time. And I wanted Jamal Murray. But...
Remember when y'all picked RJ Hunter?
Yeah, but we picked him at the end of the first round.
I know, I just remembered.
So, my two top selections, because I knew Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram were going 1 and 2, I wanted Jamal Murray or Chris Dunn. And boy, am I happy we have Jaylen Brown. Because if Danny Ainge would have listened to me, we'd either have, because he wasn't even a top three option. Because if it was up to me, we'd either have Jamal Murray, Chris Dunn, or Buddy Hield.
I mean, Buddy Hield isn't bad. I mean,
Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray are both not bad. Chris Dunn is bad.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at the drafts, like, the 2015 draft, the number one pick and the number two pick have both been all-stars. The 2016, which was D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. The 2016 draft, the number one and number two picks should be all-stars, because Brandon Ingram should be an all-star this year.
Jaylen Brown probably will be.
Like, but then you get to the 2017 draft, and it's just bad. Like other than Tatum, there's really, like, I'm looking at it. Like, okay, Markel Fultz, he's been better in Orlando, but he's not groundbreaking Josh stuff.
He's one of the worst NBA players of all time.
Yeah. Josh Jackson's a disgrace. Lonzo is – he's been
– De'Aaron Fox has been underwhelming this season.
Lonzo's been better than he was on the Lakers, but
– not really. He just hasn't played enough.
Still not amazing. Jonathan Isaac, he got injured. Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's the only one. He's an all-star. So we got two all-stars.
What I got to say for you?
What?
Kyle Kuzma is not that good.
I mean, I think that he –
13 points and 4 rebounds.
He's been thrust into a system with LeBron and AD that doesn't quite fit his skill set. Doesn't quite fit his skill set. And the fact that he comes off the bench with Rondo.
Did you see Bam Adebayo was in this draft also?
All right, so the 2017 draft wasn't a bust.
It's not good.
I mean, we got three All-Stars.
The first round is not good.
The 2018 draft?
Marvelous.
The 2018 draft, we got Ayton, who is yet to be an all-star, but still decent. Marvin Bagley.
He may be there someday.
Marvin Bagley's not bad, but he's been getting injured quite a lot this year. Doncic is incredible. Jaren Jackson is good. Trey Young's incredible. and then after that, Shai. Shai's really, really, really good.
Bamba, Carter, Sexton.
Michael Porter. Michael Porter's been coming around.
Honestly, in the lottery, not counting Jerome Robinson, Kevin Knox is probably the worst player.
Yeah, Kevin Knox is a bad NBA player.
He is really horrible. So bad.
Yeah, no, he's bad. Like bad.
The Knicks could have picked either Bridges, which were the rumors for their pick, and they'd be better off.
Yeah, no, Kevin Knox is B.A.D. bad. And then Kevin Huerter, he's pretty decent.
Josh Okogie's pretty locked
Aaron
up.
Holiday. Aaron Holiday is pretty good.
Coming around.
Landry Shamet.
This is a solid draft.
A solid draft. Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson, Devontae Graham.
Kurucs and Hamidou in the second round.
Justin Jackson, De'Anthony Melton. This second round was filled with studs. Kostas Antetokounmpo. Like,
all right, now you're getting carried over.
No, but the 2018 draft was pretty stacked.
All right, and now let's just look at 19.
The 2019 draft, so we got Zion. He's pretty good. He's good. Ja, amazing. RJ,
no words on that, man. You know how much I don't like him.
He's all right. DeAndre Hunter.
Lackluster.
Darius Garland.
On a horrible team.
Jared Culver.
I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to say.
Kobe White. He's been streaky. He's been okay. He's been really good at some stretches of this season. Cam Reddish is absolute garbage. That kid is bad.
He's actually been very good lately.
I don't trust it. I think he's bad.
I believe you are a foolish man.
I think he's bad. I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's good.
You are a damn fool.
That's such a stupid thing to say, but I think he's like, I don't think he's like something special. I don't think he's a top 10 player in this draft when it's all said and done.
Look, if you want, I'll just run through it a little bit for you. His last 7 games, he's averaging 14.7, 5.1 rebounds, 2.6 threes, 1.3 steals on 46% shooting.
Okay, so you're fine with your 10th pick averaging 14 points?
In his rookie year, yeah.
Okay, so I can name 10 players better than Cam Reddish right now. Zion, Ja, RJ, that's already 3. Kobe White is 4. Tyler Hero, 5. Nikhil, 6. Matisse Thybulle. What do you mean, huh?
Nikhil is not better than him.
Yes, he is.
Nikhil is bad.
Okay, I'll give you that. Matisse Thybulle, still 5.
Yeah, 5.
Nazir Little, 6.
Huh?
Okay. Jordan Poole is 6. Shut up.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Jordan Poole is better than him, bro.
Jordan Poole is shooting 27%.
Nicholas Claxton. That's 7.
27%, bro.
Carson Edwards is 8.
Carson Edwards doesn't play.
Eric Pascal is 9.
You're a clown.
Eric Pascal is 9.
That's the only one that you said that's right.
Taylen Horan-Tucker is better than him. I know that no one's seen Taylen Horan-Tucker, but that kid is nice. Taylen Horan-Tucker is most certainly going to be better than
Cam Reddish. I would put probably...
I'll put money on it.
$500.
Okay, relax, buddy.
I'm so confident that Cam Reddish is better than Taylen Horan-Tucker.
I'll put $20 in the next 5 years that Cam Reddish is worse than Taylen Horan-Tucker.
I'll do it. It's on the air. It's on the air.
Okay, deal. I'll take it. I'll take your deal. Well, there's no backing out.
There's no need to back out.
Okay.
I'd put Cam Reddish over half of these fools.
Okay. But with that, we just spent 20 minutes rambling about drafts. And with that, we're going to end the episode. Bittersweet episode. First episode of the first episode after Kobe's passing. The next episode we do will probably be in the next couple of days. All-Star break is coming up, so we're really excited for that. Spencer Dinwiddie's in the skills challenge. Kyrie, unfortunately, won't be in the All-Star game because he didn't play enough games. But next year, him and KD will probably be in there together, so we can look forward to that. Joe Harris will probably be in the three-point contest. And, yeah, we're going to have some good representation from the Nets on All-Star weekend. Shout-out to Hawaiian Niles Corner Coffee Company for sponsoring this podcast and every other HoopBall podcast. Subscribe to the HoopBall podcast on Apple, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Press the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star rating and review because all reviews are getting read on the podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening. This episode meant a lot to us, and we'll talk to you all next time.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.